From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week's view features three articles having to do with questions about the evaluation and treatment of patients who have heart muscle disease, including new technologies for imaging the heart, as well as a very interesting paper looking at predicting the progression of heart failure from stage C to stage D, as well as mortality in patients with heart failure caused by reduced ejection fraction. Let me start with a very interesting article that came out in JACC Imaging. The title is Hybrid Magnetic Resonance Imaging and Positron Emission Tomography with Fluorodeoxyglucose to Diagnose Active Cardiac Sarcoidosis. This first article by Dweck et al. Explores whether combining CMR and PET is useful in the diagnosis of cardiac sarcoidosis. As you know, this condition is thought to be significantly underdiagnosed, and we really need improved imaging techniques that can help us diagnose it earlier, assess its activity, and potentially alter therapy. This is a small study, 25 patients, and really the question is, by doing magnetic resonance, can you identify through late gadolinium enhancement a pattern of injury? Combining that with PET using 18 FDG, can you diagnose disease activity using that modality? And by combining the two, potentially offer hope for a single study to guide therapy. Now, in addition, of course, to getting the pattern of injury and disease activity, you also get overall LV function, extracardiac disease, etc. In this particular study, 8 patients who had active sarcoid were positive in terms of late gadolinium enhancement. They were also positive in terms of having activity diagnosed by the PET scan using 18 FDG uptake. And so this gets at this issue of a positive test for both types of assessment might identify a patient who has active sarcoidosis, as opposed to perhaps the one patient in the study who was MR positive that had gadolinium enhancement in a pattern consistent with sarcoid, but they were PET negative, suggesting perhaps this is a patient who has sarcoidosis that is somewhat burned out in terms of activity. So this pattern of anatomy and then disease activity may find a home in the future for us as we assess better ways of both diagnosing sarcoidosis of the heart, creating a sense for who needs treatment and for how long, and potentially predicting risk. So I think we should kind of stay tuned in terms of where this technology will go. Obviously, cost-benefit always is a question here. But I was intrigued by the study, and I thought I would share that as the first article this week. The second article we're looking at is also from JACC Imaging. It's entitled Incremental Prognostic Utility of Left Ventricular Global Longitudinal Strain in Asymptomatic Patients with Significant Chronic Aortic Regurgitation and Preserved Left Ventricular Ejection Fraction. As you know, patients who have asymptomatic, chronic, impressive aortic valve regurgitation and preserved EF represent a challenging diagnostic dilemma and management dilemma. And we're often not quite sure exactly when to pull the trigger in terms of getting them a new valve. This particular study is interesting, and it tries to assess whether adding this newer technology, that is assessing global longitudinal strain with strain imaging from echocardiography, may add some value. In this study from a single institution, there were over 1,000 patients who had class 3 to 4 aortic valve regurgitation. All of them had a small indexed LV end systolic dimension. They all had preserved EF. And in the study, about 63% of the patients ended up having surgery. They were followed for about 7 years. And the most important endpoint for this discussion is that the left ventricular global longitudinal strain, if it was less than the median of minus 19.5%, these patients had a 17% mortality versus the 11% in patients who did not have that alteration in global longitudinal strain. Now, as you know, we're using strain imaging in oncology. For years, we used multi-gated imaging using radiolabeled tracer to look at LVEF. But now more recent studies have suggested that for following the potential impact of chemotherapy on the heart, the use of global longitudinal strain may be more sensitive for identifying a patient whose ventricle is being hurt by the chemotherapy, where we really have to ask ourselves, should we adjust the dose, should we change courses, etc. So it's interesting, this article also calls to mind the possibility that using this strain imaging from ECHO, we may find a method of identifying patients with severe aortic valve regurgitation where the ventricle is beginning to be damaged in such a way that we should consider earlier surgery. This is a large study, but it's a single study, and it's really hypothesis generating. We need another one or two with potentially randomized trial that would absolutely prove that this methodology should be used in the foreseeable future. So now let me switch gears and discuss an article that is in JACC Heart Failure this past week, Progression to Stage D Heart Failure Among Outpatients with Stage C Heart Failure and Reduced Ejection Fraction. This is a substantial study as well, almost 1,000 patients followed over 3 years. These patients all had heart failure related to reduced ejection fraction. The mean EF was 28%. 47% had ischemic heart disease. 49% began the study in New York Heart Class 1 and 2. 51% were in Class 3 and 4. Most, as you would expect, were on beta blockers, angiotensin modulating agents, and a minority were on aldosterone antagonists. The conclusions of the study are interesting. The first thing to say is that about one patient out of eight with stage C heart failure due to reduced ejection fraction will progress to stage D heart failure over a 3-year period. Similarly, over 3 years, about one patient out of eight in stage C will die. What I found particularly curious about the study is that the predictors of progression are somewhat different than the predictors of those who will pass away. Predictors of progression include a lower ejection fraction, lower blood pressure, renal and hepatic dysfunction, and chronic lung disease. Contrarywise, predictors of mortality included older age, creatinine, and the use of angiotensin modulating agents and beta blockers was associated with a lower mortality. Interestingly, gender, race, and ischemic etiology did not find independence in predicting mortality. Based on this article, it is estimated that about 100,000 patients with HFrEF would progress to stage D heart failure in the United States annually if this was seen basically across the board in our country. Certainly, the article is sobering in terms of the tendency for heart failure due to reduced ejection fraction to progress. Patients who have, for example, multiple predictors of both progression and mortality, one could argue that perhaps we should be involving palliative care earlier if patients have had recurrent hospitalizations for heart failure and a reduced ejection fraction. Obviously, when we're talking about patients who may not be candidates for more advanced therapies, including the possible use of artificial mechanical support or a transplant. So in summary, I've covered, I think, 3 interesting articles, all which have something to do with the heart muscle, one of them looking at the potential of MR and PET combined imaging to diagnose and potentially manage sarcoidosis of the heart, another looking at really the potential of a new imaging platform, that is global longitudinal strain, to potentially be used in decision-making in patients with valve disease, in this case specifically aortic valve regurgitation that's chronic. And lastly, some information from this article looking at predictors of progression and mortality in heart failure due to reduced ejection fraction. I think all 3 articles provide us, in some ways, glimpses of the future with how we may be managing these conditions and or thinking about these conditions as we go forward. I want to thank you so much for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. And all of this can be found on the ACC website. Find us online or wherever you get your podcasts. And the articles which I've discussed today will be available to you in this forum. Thank you and have a good day.